back here at Freedom's Phoenix Studios on Declare Your Independence. And me, Ernest Hancock, making sure that we, you know, we're sharing the same thoughts, that we understand what we're, each of us is talking about and what this mission is. Let me tell you what the mission is. Survival. How about that? You know, is that a good enough one for you? You know, I was talking to a young man running for Congress in New Mexico named Adam Kokesh, and he was talking about his experience while he was in Fallujah, Iraq, as a Marine. And the one thing that he was saying, he goes, you know, it started as you are philosophically a libertarian. You advocate non-intervention. You're thinking about how, you know, life manifests itself as you get older and so on. What happened was is that all of a sudden he started to realize it's really, truly a matter of life and death all around him. We have to make sure that we advocate a philosophy that's not going to get us killed. I mean, it's not, you know, more complicated than that. See, they keep trying to make it more complicated. They throw in all kinds of different kinds of people, different issues, different methods, who's in charge, who's not. You know, it's really not that hard to understand. Sooner or later, you're advocating for the use of force against someone else to benefit others. And are you advocating that? Or are you participating in it? Are you helping it? Are you enabling it? Are you an enabler? Don't be an enabler. You know, advocate for what? You know, individual sovereignty, freedom. So now when you get down to this, so we're going to be talking about a lot of issues. If you go to freedomsphoenix.com, freedoms with an S, .com, you'll see that we have dozens of editors. Now, we've been doing this a while. We got plenty to talk about. What we do is we allow, from a libertarian perspective, now, let me tell you what part of this, you know, freedom, if you're really freedom-oriented, and this is a criticism that we get from the beginning, and we knew we would, and I'm sure we, you know, a lot of people in the audience are going to have the same question. Let me go ahead and preempt you right here. You will see people from the left giving their opinion in detail, writing articles, having whatever say on whatever the issue is. As time goes on, you will learn that, you know, hey, that's a good perspective. I like that guy. I want to have something to, you know, say about that. I'll comment on it. But you're going to have it there. And sooner or later, you may say, I don't even care what he has to say. He's a bad writer. I don't care. I don't want it. But my only criteria as a publisher and with our senior editing staff, they make sure that you're sincere. That's it. You know, are you sincere? Do you have? Are you able to put thoughts together? Because what happens, it gives a perspective. On the right, we have some people. They're in there just pounding the table about, you know, how you got to have the Federal Reserve. Really? Well, it's no fun if you don't have those guys around. Heck, you know, you throw them a couple bucks just so they'll come do it so you can have fun with them. Now, you don't really get a full understanding or hone your skills as a debater until you have the other side for you to do it with. And the other benefit is this. You will have net trolls. You have these guys that go over, that you're under the bridge, they're just going to grab you by the ankles, try and keep you from going where you need to go. Now, what's going to happen is, as they get in, they distract you, and you start getting in arguments about stuff that just doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter. But arguing with the other side has a benefit for the audience, yours and theirs. Own your skills. We bring these guys on. We created Freedom's Phoenix in such a way, instead of these people being able to just spew their garbage out there, be alone, and it's just an echo chamber to reinforce the people that want to believe or support what they're doing, what we have is an article or a column that is on Freedom's Phoenix that must be available for comment by all of us. So this is how it happens. They put out their stuff. They say whatever. We have great, already freed, experienced minds will go in and dissect everything that they have. So when somebody does a Google search on them, all of a sudden they go and they see their stuff along with the arguments all around it. What happens? You know, for the first time, they'll have, you know, CNBC puts up some whatever and some guys in support of just, you know, us being lied to or tries to use them as a validating source for their crap opinion and so on. We go in there and just bash the snot out of them. What should we do? Should we let them be out there on their own without criticism? Should we be, you know, allow them, you know, just to be on their area and not bring their minds and supporters over to our site to get, you know, brushed with that freedom stroke across their cortex? This was done intentionally. It was the power of the internet when it first started in the mid-90s. When email groups first started, it was the most enormous boon of information that there, I loved it. And then you had the trolls start coming in and being pain in the butt. But this is how we take care of it. By having us be able to have this discussion and let them speak and say their piece, we get their best work, which brings out the best work in us, which frees minds. So a lot of times, and there may be listeners on this network that will come up and they'll say, hey, man, I can't believe you would put this up there. You know, this is not the truth. They're going to, you know, I'm like, you have equal ability to put your work up there and go get them. What do you think I did it for? And it's been effective. And let me tell you who it's been the most effective with. The young. This is their bailiwick, man. This is it. This is how they commute. This is what they do. They take information, they pull it off of the internet, YouTubes, Twitters, do their own research, and they will just take and just slap the snot out of these guys and do it and pass it out to their friends. Look what we did. Our generation, I'm a senior citizen of the X generation, born in 1961. I'm 48. I always thought I was born at just the right time. I was just old enough to remember the first landing on the moon, walking on the moon. Now, the thing is, you know, I remember the most complicated thing in an automobile was an AM radio. And maybe, you know, spark plugs. You know, it just wasn't that complicated. Now we have what? You know, Wi-Fi, you know, just building cars right now to where they're all internet accessible. And that's one of the benefits of one of the reasons why we were so excited about building the studios and coming back on the air using not just Terran Radio and regular broadcasting, but to set it up for Internet Archives, which we did from the beginning in February 2003. You know, we got plenty of computer technological geeks in the movement, you know, so you know, we all know how to make it available. So if you go and you do Google search on Ernest Hancock Radio or something, man, I tell you, you'll hear what I got to say about whatever. Man, you want to get all armed up and come after me and you want something to say, now bring it on. So we'll go ahead and we'll get to it. You can go ahead and do all the research. What you said, thousand shows, I mean, you'll sit there and you got to think, wow, did I say something that I couldn't support now? Probably not, because you go from a base philosophy. All right, let's go ahead and let's put out the number. 1-800-313-9443. Okay, we got Quince in Pennsylvania. Go ahead, Quince.
Yes, I'd like to welcome you on behalf of a lot of my friends who are listeners to this station to the lineup of the station. John once again has proven that he's a genius in finding the best talent, and I'd like to welcome you aboard.
Thank you, Quince. Just give me your perspective on where this battle is going, where it's been, and tell me about the audience here. You know, tell me about the show. Tell me about the network. Tell me what you think the perspective is and how welcome a hardcore, no compromise, all government, everywhere is bad libertarian is going to be taken.
Well, let me preface my answer by saying that I've had Freedom's Phoenix as my homepage for 2 years, so I'm very familiar with what you do. And as an aside, I encourage all listeners to immediately go to freedomsphoenix.com and sign up for the daily emails, the daily news alert, that's what it is. It's very concise. It's well put together. You can look at it in just a few seconds. You can get an overview of what's at the top of the Freedom's Phoenix news. It's just an excellent resource. My reply to your question is that this war, as I think you agree, is about information. It's about informing more and more people as to what is really going on and why what they see in terrestrial media is all a charade.
Well, what role have you, and I got to do this. I mean, you know, I just, you know, this is the activist in me. I go to Quince and I say, I appreciate, you know, I'm glad your mind is getting exposed to this kind of stuff and you're free. What actions are you taking? I mean, you know where we're going. If you're on Freedom's Phoenix, the top story right now is banks Here comes the option arm blow-ups. Okay, I put publisher recommended. I rarely do this, and I put that one up at the top and left it there, for, it's been over 12 hours. There's usually, we just rotate. We'll have 50, 60 headlines a day. And I put that one up there because this guy from Market Ticker, Denninger.net, he predicted, and a lot of us predict, there was a lot of people predicting, but he made a very good case understanding how subprime was going to nail us. He's like, look, here it comes, and there's nothing they can do to stop it, and this is what the numbers are. I mean, it's just the way it is. Well, now we have Alt-A is going to take another, dump. Even someone they call prime. I mean, it's done. People, I'll give you this. You go to freedomsphoenix.com, and you'll see an ad for my wife there as you go through and read articles and so on. You'll eventually see my wife. She's a real estate agent here. And, things are starting to pick up. There's people buying them because the houses are half what they were 2 years ago. I'll get it here. But we have children. I have two boys and two girls from 19 to 23. I have two of them are married. And what happens is they're now looking for a home. Homes are getting cheap. They still got jobs. They're doing okay. They're like, man, let's go get how we can buy this. And we're telling them, and even her clients, she's sharing with them, look, do not think, if you think you need to sell your house, you're waiting for it to go up, sell it now, because it's not going to get better. If you're going to buy a home, expect that, it may be even cheaper to purchase it than it is to rent. Rents are going to keep coming down, though. But the thing is that you may have, within 6 months, be upside down to $20,000, $30,000 because the prices of homes are going to continue to go down. And this is what we're telling our children. Is it bottom? They go, well, it's a bottom. Why? Why? Well, I read it or saw it on TV. That's it? I mean, really? Seriously? I mean, how often? Everybody that you're listening to now telling you is the bottom was telling you there wasn't a problem a year ago. Come on, wake up. So the thing is that I ask, someone like you, Quince, I got to say, okay, this kind of information you've been exposed to on Freedom's Phoenix, how has it changed your life? What are you doing to prepare for the greatest depression in human history? What are you doing?
The first thing I do is I keep a daily logbook of all the shows that I listen to every week in RBN, which is about 55 hours. And whenever I run across a new book or a website that I haven't seen, I either order the book used and get it in my library, or I go to the website and start browsing through it to get personally informed. I see something that's really essential, I send it out to my personal email list, and that's just a taste of what I do on a daily basis. I'm currently working on a new sister network for RBN with John Stadtmiller called ERN, Elected Representative Network, whereby we are going to tap into the constituents who have already elected statesmen. There's got to be at least one statesman in every state.
Good. I say good luck finding them.
Sorry?
I say good luck finding them. You get, heck, if you got one in the country, we got Ron Paul, we're like, woohoo, man, we got one, out of thousands of elected officials. It's phenomenal how bad it is out there.
Well, take, for instance, in Pennsylvania, we have Sam Rohr, elected state representative from Berks County. He's been very active in creating the Anti-Real ID Act legislation, among other things. He's on board with this. He's ready to go.
Okay, let me go in. I'm familiar with it, and let's talk about this for a moment because I want to ask some questions about this. Let's say that you get a good constitutionalist from each state. You get two from each state. You get three. You start to build up, the people. What do you think it is that causes that? I mean, some people will say, well, we get better organized, we got involved in the party, we did, whatever. And it's, my advocacy has been it's a side effect of a culture that demands to be left alone. And is electoral politics the best, method of accomplishing that? What is the end result here, that they get to have a voice, that they get supported, that you increase them? What is your end result? What is it you're looking for?
I think the first thing is, to answer your question, that these elected representatives, these statesmen that we're talking about, have constituents that have voted them into office. And these constituents are all kindergarten patriots. They don't yet understand that they're not playing checkers. They're playing a 100-level chess game. So by bringing them into this fold, we're showing them through information on Freedom's Phoenix and RBN and other information sources, what they're really involved with. That is the key, is informing people. And you know this because you've been doing it for years.
Okay.
You've got to inform people.
Let's say what they're dealing with. So I want to ask you this. What do you think they're dealing with? I mean, what is it that somebody comes in, they're going to learn we need to what? How does it manifest themselves from a slacktivist to an activist? I mean, what is it that they're supposed to be doing?
They need to understand the truth about American
history. Okay, then what? They understand. They get it. Then what?
Then they need to understand that it's up to them personally to take charge of their local government, meaning electing a constitutional sheriff. Get Sheriff Richard Mack up to their county, which we had Sheriff Richard Mack up here. Get the locals informed that they have to run an election for a sheriff to bring the Constitution right there home, to set up a fence around their county. They need to take personal action and form a constituency that is more less about electing a person and more about standing for unalienable rights and individual rights and private property.
Okay, now this is a really good conversation that I know that we're going to have on this network and go back and forth, and this is going to, so stay with me on this. I want to see how close are we on time. Yeah, we're going to. Can you hold over, Quince? Because this is exactly what I wanted to get into. And let me go ahead and, you know, thanks for the call. You stay right there. Go ahead and pot him down for a little bit, and we'll come back, because the point that I want to make is this. Where is your effort best focused, and how? I know Sheriff Mack, we're friends. You know, I've known him since back in 94 when he was sheriff in Graham County, and I got a whole bunch of Sheriff Mack stories. In fact, he ran as a Libertarian against John Kyle for U.S. Senate here. We helped him with that. Heck, we encouraged him. Come on, you know, Richard, you know, we're going to have some fun. So the thing is that we are, and he gives a great presentation, and he's the man for a lot of what's going on now. Mike Maresco, that Liberty Rider, gone across the country sharing his book. We spent time with him in Santa Fe. We went, two of our guys, our sales manager and our local meetup coordinator, Ron Paul thing, rode with him, bike across Arizona to Las Vegas, where we hooked up at the Freedom Fest. And it's just, and we do videos of Sheriff Max in support of him. So we're traveling in the same crowd, man. But I'm telling you, we each understand each other, that we have a different direction that we take and how we're going to get this. And when we come back, we're going to talk about it. Quince and Ernest Hancock, I'm going to declare your independence with me, Ernest Hancock. We'll be back in just a little bit. Freedom's Phoenix Studios. It's Declare Your Independence. Me, Ernest Hancock. And on the line we have Quince. Now, Quince, I wanted to make sure that we expanded on this, because I know this is going to become an issue here on the show. And John and I had talked about this, and he was very supportive of us having this dialogue, and I'm really excited about it, and I want to make sure we get this in. The situation is this. I think humanity, human beings, us as individuals, the concept that we can rule ourselves is like discovering gravity. I mean, you know, it's like, ooh, you know, it's like there's a science here. It's like, you know, I don't have to be ruled by someone. I'm not, you know, sheep, and you always got to have a shepherd, and because he's got, I don't know, he's taller, got blonde hair, or he's got, you know, a bigger spear. I mean, you know, what is it I can do myself? Okay, that's good. And we can voluntarily associate with each other and so on. And because when you talk about a constitution, I'm just going, it's almost like you have an atheist will go to a religious person and make some kind of reasoned argument. They go, yeah, but the Bible says, and you just turned off the atheist. I mean, if you can't make a reasoned argument for you, you know, I deal with libertarians, you know, I'm a man of faith myself. But, you know, if you don't have a reasoned argument, if you can't come up with a good reason why you have a doctrine that would tell you to live a certain way, you know, that there's a benefit, a reasoned benefit for having a certain way of living. If you can't make that argument, you're going to lose a lot of people. They just don't have anything to do with it. So I'm going, okay, let's have a reasoned argument. We have the Constitution. We're looking at this document that they call a social contract. And I'm like, yeah, well, I don't remember ever signing it, okay? I didn't say, well, it matters not. He is your king, okay? All right, so you got this contract. Let's take a look at it. I never signed it, but let's take a look at it. If you look at the contract, it's all about the power, the power, the power, the power, the power. The power to tax, the power eminent domain, the power to regulate, power. Well, then the anti-federalists said, hey, whoa, we got to put a whoa on this power thing, okay? We got this Bill of Rights, all of the things, the 10 thou shalt nots of government, all right? So then I'm going, all right, when they have this contract, let's take a look at it as a contract. From my standpoint, I'm required to, you know, pay these taxes and support this central government that runs my life from, well, where is it? Oh, Washington, D.C. Okay, and they're going to have how many congressmen going to do it this way? Oh, and they changed it, and we're going to do, all right, fine, so we got that. Well, we still have this Bill of Rights thing that says, you know, you can't do all of these things. Well, they do them anyway. You got the Declaration of Independence says when they violate individual rights, you need to, you know, get rid of it, start over. You have the Bill of Rights saying, well, these are all the things you can't do. Oh, what the Declaration of Independence said. So now you're in a situation to where you have it's like a bologna sandwich, you know. So I'm going, all right. How am I obligated to this contract that they will not uphold their end? As far as I'm concerned, that is null and void. Now, do I have to challenge it? I got to, you know, go fight them. I got to, you know, declare my independence with, you know, a 50 caliber or something like that. Do I really have to? I don't really need to. You know, I'm good. It's not working. I'm done. Let's go. We'll try something else. But the first thing is we have to get our minds free, in my opinion, and the people that I associate with, and this next generation, these 20-something-year-old kids that are expected to have to pay for this. We're going to get back to our constitutional government and pay off our debts and all this, and they're going, whoa, time out, man. It's not my debt. We even had billboards, two big giant designs that we had, 9 locations all over the valley on the freeways here during the Arizona legislative session, first part of this year, that was all over for months. It had a little baby with a barcode on their butt being scanned saying, it's not my debt. The other one was a fetus in the womb saying, it's not my debt. It's not their debt. And I apologize. I want to make sure I got this out. Quince, can you hold on?
Sure.
We'll go ahead and we come back. We'll give Quince's response to this. Then we'll get to Gary in California right after that. But I want to make sure that you guys understand, you know, this is where it's at.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Responsibility for your